morning, and we open up our hearts to you today. Pray, Lord, that you just feel this. Well, you have filled this place. We can feel it. We are encountering you right now, Lord, as your Holy Spirit is moving. Thank you for being with us this morning. And yeah, amen. Why don't you take your seats? Great job, team. Yeah, awesome job. I'm just going to pinch your folder for a sec. What did I drop? Oh. Oh. So, welcome. You got me again. This time I'm prepared. Before we start, I just want to pray for Manoa, who, if you haven't noticed, is not here. He's in Hobart, Launceston. He's had surgery on his hand, and I believe it went well. But he has to spend like 6 weeks down there doing rehab, so physical rehab. So we'll pray for him, and also for Leanne, who's going in for back surgery on Thursday. So let's just come around and pray for Manoa and Leanne, and if there's anyone else that you feel, you know, needs prayer in the area of healing, just lift that prayer up yourself, and let's come around them, not just with prayer but with practical help. So if you've ever been in hospital or had surgery, you know that the couple of weeks after that can be really tricky for cooking and cleaning and people touch, conversation. Oh, words. Obviously, I'm not good at that, even not after surgery. We'll pray for them, and then just keep in mind that these things are going on in our church family, and as family, we need to come around one another. So do something practical as well, not just pray, amen, job done. So why don't you lift your hands? We'll just lift Manoa, Lord, to you this morning, and we thank you that he's had the opportunity to have surgery and access to rehab on his hand. We pray, Lord, that you will just accelerate that healing and accelerate that, just to get his hand back to where you need it to be for him to fulfill his call, the call that you have on his life. And we also pray, Lord, for Leanne. Just pray that you'll settle her heart, just blanket her in comfort and peace, and reassure her that you are in control. You always have been and you always will. And we pray for the steadiness of the surgeon's hands this week, and for a speedy recovery and just a miraculous recovery coming out of that surgery, Lord. We thank you that Leanne has a gift on her life that needs her back. You know she needs her back to be functioning properly, and we leave this in your hands, Lord. And for anyone else who is battling with some sickness or illness or physical pain, Lord, we just lift them to you this morning. You are the great healer. In Jesus' name. Right. Who's excited about Advance Conference? Yeah. It's Advance, not Advance. Just saying. same thing, potato. It's pretty exciting. We've been planning this for quite some time, and we've got lots of updates about Uganda, of course, and Laura in Thailand and Rudy in Thailand, and there's a lot of really exciting stuff going on in these missions that we partner with, and you don't want to miss these updates. If you miss it, too bad. But really, three sessions, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, followed by church lunch. It's going to be amazing. And, there's just so much exciting stuff happening around the world at the moment. So come along, get these updates, be encouraged that God is moving, not just in our community, but around the world. So I am super excited about that. Right, if you didn't get the memo, I'll be speaking about Holy Spirit fire today. So all those songs this morning were perfectly chosen. And it's funny when you prepare a sermon, you hear things like during the prayer meeting and then during communion and then the songs. And even though you don't say, this is exactly what I'm going to talk about, God knows. And so there's a theme running through, and already we're on the topic of fire. So the Holy Spirit is fire. Last week Matt shared about the Holy Spirit as a dove, and not as an actual dove, but likened to, like, it has the characteristics of a dove. And the Bible often uses pictures like this so we can understand the nature of God and the nature of him and his purposes in our life. And fire has lots of purposes, and I'm a bit nervous about this, but anyway, the Holy Spirit, not just described as a dove, but as living water, as rushing wind, and of course, as fire. In Acts 2, and I don't have anything on the screen today, so you're just going to have to follow along with me. If you've got notebook and pen, I've got like 7 points you can write down, so feel free to do that. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there. Now these tongues of fire, like tongues of fire, and the Holy Spirit comes like fire. Why is the Holy Spirit described as being like fire? There are lots and lots of, I could preach all day on this one, but I have narrowed it down to 7 things. So if you're playing along at home, number one is fire comforts. Who doesn't like sitting around a campfire? The Holy Spirit is our comforter. John 14, 26 says the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, has been sent to us. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to comfort you? Or maybe a better question is, when you need to be comforted, where do you go? Second one, we're going to go fast. Fire protects. It wards off wild animals. Shepherds used a light of fire around their flocks at night to stop the wild animals coming in and pinching the sheep. God says in Zechariah 2 that he will be a protecting wall of fire around Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit is our protector. When you are feeling vulnerable, where do you go for protection? Number 3, fire guides. And we sang My Lighthouse this morning. I love that song. The fire in a lighthouse guides ships through dangerous waters. And the Holy Spirit will guide us through the troubles of this world. In the Old Testament, God showed his presence to the Israelites by covering the tabernacle with a cloud that looked like fire. And this fiery presence provided light and guidance. Fire guides. When you're lost, where do you go for answers? And in case you haven't got this yet, the answer is always the Holy Spirit. Just so you know. Just saying. Number 4, fire motivates. It makes things move. It propels things. Think about a rocket, yeah? Or a hot air balloon. Fire motivates. In Luke 24, thanks, Gary. In Luke 24:32, after talking with the resurrected Jesus, the two disciples described their hearts as burning within us. If your heart's burning within you, you want to do something about it, yes? Who's ever had that feeling? Yeah? And after the apostles received the Spirit at Pentecost, we read in Acts 4 that they had a passion that lasted a lifetime and impelled them to speak the word of God boldly. The Holy Spirit makes things move. He motivates us. He creates the passion in our hearts and propels us into action. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you with boldness? When you need to get something done, where do you find your motivation? Number five. I like this one. Fire softens. Bear with me. When you think of food, like a steak, tomahawk steak on a fire, what does fire do? It makes it safe, makes it digestible, makes it delicious. Who doesn't want to be like that? I want to be safe, digestible and delicious. No, seriously. But seriously, if somebody looks at you and they're like, oh, you're a bit chewy and bleh, then you're not, you need to be able to be those good things so people can see Jesus in your life. So, I just went on a tangent then. We are to be softened by the Holy Spirit so that others find it less difficult to experience Jesus Christ through us. My question, when you are grumpy and irritable, how do you deal with that? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to soften you, or do you lash out and make accusations and be all... So there are five things to get us started. Fire comforts, fire protects, fire guides, fire motivates, and fire softens. And when we look to the Holy Spirit for those things, there's another two, I did say seven, but when we look to the Holy Spirit for those things, there's a flow-on effect that is really, it's going to sucker punch you today. Number six, fire purifies. Fire, you probably all know this, fire's been used for centuries to refine heavy metals. We sang about refiner's fire and the imagery of the Holy Spirit refining us like gold and silver is found many times in the Bible. Just two of these is Malachi chapter 3. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He purifies the Levites, refining them like gold and silver. And Psalm 66 says, God, you have purified us like silver. So you know when something's mentioned more than once in the Bible, it's worth looking a little bit deeper. And the process of refining gold and silver hasn't changed much over the centuries. I went down a bit of a rabbit hole this week trying to, you know, just nail down the actual process. But essentially, it gets heated, impurities rise to the surface, and they get scooped off and discarded. Then the silver gets heated again. Impurities rise to the surface, impurities get scooped off and discarded. And that process continues again and again and again until the silver is pure. Likewise, our journey to be more like Jesus is not going to be a one-off instantaneous encounter, but a series of potentially intense processes. We are to be refined by the Holy Spirit, and the sins that come to the surface are to be scooped off and discarded. And that's a really important thing to note. Not just, oh, I've got this sin in my life. Okay, I acknowledge it, but I'm going to keep doing it. No, it has to be revealed and discarded. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to purify you? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to point out those things in your life that don't belong? And what are you going to do about it? Number seven, fire promotes new growth. When you think of a forest or bushland, fire removes the dead trees. Fire removes decaying plants. Fire releases nutrients into the soil that in turn feed new plants. There's the pine tree seed is encased in pitch. that doesn't get released if the fire doesn't melt the pitch. So if the seed of a pine seed, if a pine seed doesn't go through fire, it's never going to become a pine tree. Pardon? Won't fulfill its potential, that's right. There's another plant called a fire lily that actually depends on fire to germinate. And it relies on the smoke from the fire to trigger its flowering process. Without fire, the fire lily would never blossom. In fact, it might not even grow. Fire promotes new growth. Is there something in your life that God wants to draw out of you? Get rid of the casing of that pine nut, pine seed, so that you can blossom into all that God's created you to be. I found a plant called a wild lupine. Are there any biologists here? No, okay. I'm pretty sure this is right. A plant called a wild lupine, no, it is right. It requires fire to flourish. But it goes further than that. Wild lupine is the only food source of an endangered butterfly called the Kama blue. So if the fire doesn't come through, the wild lupine doesn't grow, and this caterpillar has nothing to feed on. You see where I'm going? Caterpillar doesn't develop into a butterfly, the butterfly doesn't reproduce, and it stops. The effect of new growth in your life matters to more than just you. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to promote growth in your life? So let's recap. The Holy Spirit comforts, protects, guides, motivates, and softens. And when we look to the Holy Spirit for these things, we get to a place where He can work His magic, purifying us and promoting new growth in our lives for others. There is another verse that talks about the Holy Spirit and fire, and this is Matthew 3, verse 11. John says this, "I baptize you with water to show that you have repented, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So this got me thinking, what happens when we baptize with water? It's full immersion. The water is around. The water is under. The water is over. 100% immersion in water. So if that's baptism by water, what is baptism by fire look like? Now, I'm not recommending we literally walk into a burning bonfire, but the concept is the same. When something is completely immersed in fire, it comes out different. It will never come out the same. We are not just to experience the Holy Spirit as fire, but to be completely immersed and surrounded by Him. And the more we are refined by the Holy Spirit, the more we are surrounded by the Holy Spirit and allow Him to work in our lives, the more we get rid of those things that are holding us back, that are sinful. Proverbs 25:4 says, "Remove the impurities from silver and the sterling will be ready for the silversmith." Maybe you've got, like, maybe God's got something, well, I know God's got something incredible for every one of us, but if you picture yourself as silver and you've still got bits in you that's not, how do you explain that? The bits don't make you ready for the purpose is never going to happen. There might be things in our lives that need to be removed. There are, always. Addictions, habits, relationships, mindsets, belief systems. A lot of these things need to be removed so we can fulfill what we're called to do. You can choose to reject the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's effect as fire in your life. You can choose to. There's always a choice. You can choose to ignore the prompting. You can choose to give in. You can choose to give up. You can choose to play the victim. You have a choice. You have a free will. And I'm not telling you today that you need to confess anything or change anything, but maybe the Holy Spirit is talking to you. You can choose to allow the Holy Spirit to purify you in order to make you more like Jesus. And you can give the Holy Spirit permission to heat you up and bring sin to the surface so it can be dealt with and forgiven and discarded and it no longer rules your life. And if you don't know what sin is, be guided by the Word of God. These are not my words. This is what Galatians 5 says. The actions of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of anger, quarrels, conflicts, factions, envy, murder, drunkenness, wild partying, and things like that. You can read that for yourself in Galatians 5. So I want to just do a little bit of a creative thing, and I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine just for a moment that you are a silver nugget. Yeah. You are a nugget, and you're being held in the hottest part of the flame. You are completely surrounded by the heat of the roaring fire, and as the temperature rises, you're melting into a puddle because you cannot hold it together in the presence of such heat. And the specks of dirt that you've been hiding inside of you start to rise to the surface. Picture the heat pushing the dirt up and up so that the silversmith can see what you've been holding close to your heart. You think no one can see that dirt when it's wrapped up inside of you, and you think no one knows what you're hiding because you keep it behind closed doors or behind a computer screen or behind a fake smile. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit knows, and he wants you to know that it's not good for you to hold on to that. So picture the fire of the Holy Spirit. Picture that fire of the furnace being the Holy Spirit identifying that dirt, that sin, and bringing it to the surface. And it can be painful to acknowledge that you've been hiding something or indulging in something that is sinful, but the Holy Spirit loves you so much that he doesn't want you to be burdened with it. Let that dirt rise to the surface. Picture it. Picture it rising to the surface. Acknowledge what it is. Call it out. And now picture the silversmith coming in with a scoop and just gently, gently scooping it away, scooping away the shame and the guilt and the sin, and that gets discarded. And whatever you're picturing that dirt is, the Holy Spirit could very well right now be bringing it to the surface so you can deal with it right here today. And you don't have to live with it irritating and controlling you from the inside. So can we just sit there for a minute? Just picture that. Picture yourself in the fire, and as the creative team perhaps come up, in Matthew 3:11-12, I want to read this again. I baptize you with water to show that you have repented, but the one who will come after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Just open your eyes. The next verse is a warning. It says, he has his winnowing shovel with him to thresh out all the grain. He will gather his wheat into his barn, but he will burn the chaff in a fire that never goes out. To separate the wheat from the chaff, the farmer would toss the wheat in a basket, and the chaff has no substance. It's just an empty shell, and it would fly up and either blow away in the wind or just fall to the ground, and the wheat had enough heaviness, had enough substance to stay in the basket. And it's the wheat that's the important, that the wheat is the important part. So either way you cut it, there's going to be fire. The loving, purifying fire of the Holy Spirit, or the eternal fire of suffering. Because when Jesus returns and separates the wheat from the chaff, if you're not held down, purified and heavy with the Holy Spirit, you'll be fanned away and burnt in the eternal flame. This is what the Bible says in Matthew 18, 8 to 9. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. And if I can paraphrase that a little bit, if you're indulging in a sin that God does not like, well, which is all sin, isn't it better to just stop and get your life right with God rather than keep on doing it and be thrown into the fire of hell? That's into eternal fire. That's what it says. Are you choosing to hold on to that sin, refusing to let the Holy Spirit bring it to the surface? Are you choosing to live with that sin because it's making you feel good in the moment, even though you know that it's stopping you from moving forward into the calling God has on your life? Or are you prepared to hand it over? Are you prepared to stand up today or acknowledge today, there's something in my life that is a sin that I need to get off my chest, that I need to deal with, that I need to work through, that I need to hand over to God? Lay it down at the feet of Jesus and be one step closer. Be purified so you're more like Jesus Christ. We're going to finish on refiner's fire, obviously. The fire of the Holy Spirit is so many things, and we can see it as a destructive force, but if you're on the side of God, it's not destructive. It's comfort, it's warmth, it's guidance, it's a purification, it's a good thing. So we're going to close with this song. I'll hand you the music in a sec. But the words, purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Cleanse me from within. Make me holy. Cleanse me from within. Make me holy. That's something that you have to choose. You're the only one who knows what's going on in here. Well, and God. But when you allow the Holy Spirit of fire to reveal that, then you can deal with it. Yes. So let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that you give us pictures to understand what you are like, and pictures to understand the working of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we thank you for all the good things that the Holy Spirit is. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to be our comfort and our guide and all those wonderful things. And we even thank you for when we go through fire and you bring to the surface those things that don't belong, those attitudes, those mindsets, those actions, those ideas that don't belong. And Lord, we hand it all over to you this morning. I pray for everyone in this room right now, Lord, that if that Holy Spirit fire is burning in them this morning, Lord, I pray for the courage for them to address that, to come and find somebody to say, look, something's not right. Can you pray with me? We thank you for your refining fire, Lord, that makes us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.